Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
It is time for Ask an Expert. Every weekday at this time on KCBS, we give you direct access to top experts in various fields. As we have been reporting, today marks 36 years since the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake hit the San Francisco Bay Area. The 6.9 magnitude quake was responsible for more than 60 deaths and more than 3,700 injuries, and it dealt $10 billion worth of damage across the region. But it also became a turning point for earthquake preparedness and education, and it gave rise to urban policies that are still shaping the Bay Area today. To break it all down, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Greg Barroza, professor of geophysics at Stanford and co-director of the California Earthquake Center. If you have a question on this that you would like answered, you can email us at askus@kcbsradio.com. askus@kcbsradio.com. Professor Barroza, it is good to talk with you today. The earthquake was triggered by a slip along the San Andreas Fault. Its epicenter was in the Santa Cruz Mountains. How would you characterize Loma Prieta as a seismologist?
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for having me on. The seismologists at the time talked about the Loma Prieta earthquake as the pretty big one, meaning it's not as large as the 1906 earthquake was, which was magnitude 7.9, but still large enough to cause widespread damage and the sort of loss of life that you mentioned earlier. So it was sometimes described as a shot across our bow, highlighting the need to be better prepared than we were at the time for the earthquake threat.
The epicenter was in the Santa Cruz Mountains, but when we look specifically here in the Bay Area, there was just catastrophic damage. Why was it that it was so strong so far away from the epicenter?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Most of the fatalities occurred in the Nimitz structure, which was a double-decker freeway in Oakland. And that the shaking there was amplified by the shallow unconsolidated muds that it was built on that ring the bay. And so we were able to use the aftershocks of the earthquake to document just how much that shaking was amplified. And that sort of information is key to building more resilient structures. It's the information the engineers need to know how strongly they have to build.
Yeah, what
freeways and buildings.
What did the earthquake teach us? Do we still have some misconceptions about modern earthquake response? Still some dated beliefs?
Yeah, I'm sure we do. I'd like to focus on the things that we've learned and we think we do understand. So remember, Loma Prieta was a sort of a pre-internet earthquake. So there's now so much information readily and rapidly available to the public, but also to scientists and importantly to emergency responders than there was in 1989. So there are tools set up by the USGS and others that will dramatically speed up the response to future earthquake, getting the resources that are needed to the places most in need. As far as misconceptions go, which I think was your question, there's this notion that often comes up that small earthquakes act as a safety valve for large earthquakes, and that's incorrect. That's something that keeps coming up. They do not. There aren't enough small earthquakes to release the strain that is accumulated and needs to be, you know, the way that faults work is released only in the largest earthquakes.
So smaller earthquakes do not, quote unquote, blow off steam and help us avoid the big one?
They do not. They're an indication that we have active faults, and they help us to determine where those faults are and when they might be becoming more active, but they don't relieve the stress that's accumulating due to plate motion across the Bay Area.
Yesterday marked International Shakeout Day. I know a lot of us in the newsroom who have the app on our phones. It went off at the appointed time. Are apps like that helpful? Have we made progress in predicting earthquakes?
Yeah, so it depends on what you mean by predicting. First of all, thanks for mentioning the Great California Shakeout. We had over 10 million Californians participating in that and millions of others around the world. It's the largest earthquake preparedness drill anywhere. And it's held each year approximately on the anniversary of the Loma Prieta earthquake. So there's lots of information that you can get on earthquake preparedness for the from the Earthquake Country Alliance. I lost the thread on your question.
Part
of your question.
Yeah. Does the app, you know, that alerts you to earthquakes? Have we learned more about, if not being able to predict earthquakes, maybe at least give a quicker or earlier warning?
Yes. So there is something called earthquake early warning or earthquake alerting, and we now have a system in California for that. So when an earthquake is underway, once the slipping on the fault has started and the waves, which are the shaking, is being generated, we have systems that will send out an alert that that's happening, and sometimes before the shaking even begins. So that's a new thing, and that should help. It's not really prediction. It's an indication. It's a rapid warning that an earthquake is underway, and you should drop cover and hold on.
If an earthquake of this magnitude, of Loma Prieta's magnitude 6.9 or thereabouts, were to happen today, how different would our response be than it was in 1989? What are the most significant changes to earthquake preparedness over the last 36 years?
Yeah, I would say that there's steady progress in retrofitting buildings. Caltrans has been very aggressive about strengthening freeways and interchanges and stuff like that. So that would be different. It might be hard to assess because it's hard to quantify what doesn't break. But we would expect much better outcomes than we had then. A lot depends on exactly where the earthquake happens, right? So if it's centered in an urban area, unlike Loma Prieta, which was in the Santa Cruz Mountains, you know, it would no doubt uncover weaknesses that maybe weren't anticipated. So we can't be complacent. We have to continue to be aggressive in remediating the threat from earthquakes.
Greg Barroza, professor of geophysics at Stanford University and co-director of the California Earthquake Center, we appreciate your time today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Now to tell us how the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake shaped the future of urban design and safety regulations in the Bay Area and beyond, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Evan Reese, a California structural engineer, executive director of the U.S. Resiliency Council, also executive VP of Safe Hub, a San Francisco catastrophe risk management company. Evan, it's good to talk with you today. We appreciate your time. In the aftermath of Loma Prieta, you were responsible for creating the first post-earthquake response program for large companies. When you advise companies, what do you tell them?
Well, thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here. So after Loma Prieta, a lot of companies said, gosh, we don't want to be in this position again. And certainly they know there were going to be earthquakes in the future, but we don't want to be caught unawares. We want to know what to tell our employees, what to tell our students if we're a university. Should we evacuate our buildings? Do we need to bring in engineers to look at the buildings? And so I was involved in creating many of the first post-earthquake response programs for a lot of these healthcare providers and universities and utilities. And back then, actually, KCBS had a real role in that. We developed physical binders. We would develop a binder that had information about the building, where to look for damage. And at the very first page of that binder was a "do this immediately first after you feel an earthquake." And that said, tune your radio to KCBS 740 and get information about whether or not there was a, you know, how big the earthquake was and where it was, and then activate your response program. So that's what we started off with, because that was the technology we had. And we thank KCBS for being that, you know, that information provider. Fast forward 30 plus years now, and the company I work with, SafeHub, has taken that to the next level by developing sensors that are small. They're about the size of your iPhone. They are installed in buildings, and they do that work for you automatically. They record the earthquake shaking. They send it over the internet to your mobile phone, which of course we didn't have back then, or to the to your email, and they will give you information on, you know, the intensity of the shaking, whether the building was likely damaged, so you can start to make rapid decisions about whether to evacuate a building or whether to call and engineers without having to literally physically pull a binder from the trunk of your car and read the instructions. So that's a way we've advanced significantly over the past 35 years.
We all remember the collapse of the Cypress Street Viaduct that caused 42 deaths. That was an example of quote unquote pre-seismic design. It lacked reinforcement. It was built on unstable soil and so forth. I mean, the laundry list of things in retrospect that went wrong. What have we learned and what have we improved when we design our roadways, our bridges, and our buildings today?
Sure. Well, of course, you know, California has had earthquakes for as long as we can remember, 1906, 1933, 1971. These are all major earthquakes that occurred in the past. And after those earthquakes, engineers had the goal of, okay, how do we improve our new construction? What do we do going forward to redesign our new buildings and bridges and roadways so that they don't collapse, so that they're safe in earthquakes? After 1989, after Loma Prieta, we really sort of changed that mindset in two ways. The first is we said, well, gosh, you know, we have so many existing assets. You know, I mean, 90% of the buildings in San Francisco were built before modern codes. We can't just abandon those. So how do we retrofit our existing buildings and our existing bridges to make them safe? Because we don't want just our new buildings to be safe either. So we really embarked upon a massive program statewide to retrofit our older buildings. You already mentioned in the previous caller about our bridges with Caltrans. Well, we certainly did that with brick buildings and older concrete buildings as well. And then this is where the U.S. Resiliency Council, the nonprofit that I work with, comes in, is we also said, you know, it's not just enough to be safe. We want to make sure that it's obviously our hospitals need to be functional after an earthquake, but what about our schools? What about our apartment buildings? You know, it's obviously important that those buildings not collapse and be safe, but we also want those people to be able to shelter in place and stay in their buildings or continue to go to school after the earthquake. So we started to think more about resiliency and how to make sure that our buildings would be functional after an earthquake beyond just being safe. And so the 30 years since Loma Prieta has led to a lot of advances in ways to make buildings functional after an earthquake with new technologies and better analysis tools. And so that's the way we're moving forward to make our whole communities more sustainable and more resilient.
I wonder if you could put in layman's terms that a guy like me, who's not an engineer or a seismologist, might understand. How do you go about taking a pre-1989 building and retrofitting it to make it safer during a large earthquake?
Well, there's two ways you go about that. The first is to recognize that engineers before 1989 were smart people. I mean, they really knew a lot about buildings, and there are good qualities about all older buildings. And so you use science and engineering and a lot of computing to squeeze out the best parts of older buildings and still use those. What that does is it means you have to do less new stuff to a building. But when you do the new stuff, you add in materials, and that can be concrete or steel or even those rubber bearings that you put under buildings called base isolation. And that sort of augments the strength and the good qualities of the older buildings and replaces the poor performing parts of the older building. So we use the technology and the science we have now to add new elements alongside the existing elements, and that makes our older buildings most efficient and allows them to be safer at a reasonable cost.
Evan, we have some listener questions. KCBS sure. Listener Alan has one that I think's probably been asked a million times, but we wonder, why did we only replace half of the Bay Bridge due to the earthquake?
Well, that's a great question. And it was done based on evaluation of the bridge. The portion that was replaced, the truss portion, if you will, versus the what we call the cantilever portion, which is the portion that looks sort of like the Golden Gate Bridge, is because the structural analysis showed that the cantilever portion, the sort of Golden Gate Bridge style, was adequate, was strong enough to withstand a future earthquake. But the truss portion, the portion that was replaced, just was of a style that had connections, particularly the connections of the individual steel elements, were weak and brittle. And so those are what needed to be replaced.
And also thank you to KCBS listener Mark for an interesting question. You know, there were old wood-framed houses built alongside the San Andreas Fault, mm-hmm. yet somehow those survived. Why do some structures, even older, as Mark says, wood-framed house, survive while other, perhaps more modern, concrete buildings come down?
Well, that's the beauty of wood construction, is it's very flexible and it can move with an earthquake. There's a lot of redundancy in a house. You know, not only do you have the exterior walls, but you have all of the interior walls of the house that all contribute to the strength of the building. As long as those houses are not sitting up on a tall crawl space or stilts or an unsupported basement, they actually perform quite well. And what we found is a lot of the very brittle buildings, older brick buildings that may even be newer than those houses, and even concrete buildings built in the 50s and 60s are so brittle that they don't move with the earthquake. They just bend and break very quickly. And so that's why wood still remains a great construction method, even if it's not necessarily sustainable.
You know, we have one more quick question. We're just about out of time, unfortunately. But Salesforce Tower is the tallest building in San Francisco. There is talk of building even taller buildings in the downtown area. Due to the earthquake risk, should San Francisco simply not be a city that has a World Trade Center size building or a Willis Tower in Chicago size building? Should we simply just not go that high?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think the quality of the structural engineers in California and in San Francisco in particular, plus the amount of peer review work. I mean, there is a tremendous amount of peer review work, including from professors at Stanford and other universities, every time a tall building is built in San Francisco or Los Angeles. And I feel very confident that the engineers of today are fully capable of designing buildings, you know, like they do in Japan, very tall buildings in high seismic areas. So I'm confident.
All right. Evan Reese, California Structural Engineer, Executive Director of the U.S. Resiliency Council, Executive VP of SafeHub. We appreciate you coming on today. We appreciate your expertise. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And also thank you to our previous guest, Greg Barroza, Professor of Geophysics at Stanford University, Co-Director of the California Earthquake Center. We appreciate both of you coming on this 36th anniversary of the Loma Prieta earthquake.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying play KCBS Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.